Welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Dylan Gallagher, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm an entrepreneur and a finance guy that's been working with entrepreneurs, business owners, and the investors and bankers that fund them for more than 20 years. And every week or so, I try to put together a podcast on interesting topics that all surround finance, because that's my specialty. That's what I enjoy doing. And entrepreneurs and business and small business and startups is a world that I just enjoy so much. So if you want to reach out to me, follow me on Twitter. That's Dylan Gallagher. That'll be my handle on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. And you can check my blog out. DylanGallagher.ca is where you can read the postings that I make. You can check out other podcasts. And let's get started with this week's podcast, which is what to do when your business has a financial crisis. And I happen to just love this topic. I love this topic because of all the topics I've had to deal with over the last couple of decades, this one continues to be the one I find most interesting and most engaging, because there's just so many different ways that you can deal with a financial crisis. And given that in the past week we've heard that the country of Greece has been given their third bailout, I couldn't help but use it as an opportunity to cover some points on this topic that I think are really important, and hopefully you feel the same way. So there's a couple of the two main ideas I want to cover today. One is your first loss is your best loss, and that crisis management is all about control. Now, as you listen to this, I want to make sure that I don't come across as downplaying the significance of a financial situation that you might be facing, either personally or in your business. But this particular podcast will help you in both situations. Financial crises can be difficult, can be painful, are obviously filled with emotion. But I'm hoping in this podcast, these two ideas are able to guide you and direct you. If you happen to find yourself in a moment right now where maybe it's a bit of a crisis, or you can see one coming and you're just not sure how to deal with it or how you need to prepare yourself. So I just want to give a quick recap to create some context using Greece as kind of the backdrop. So Greece, little tiny country, 2009, the marketplace decides that they're going to downgrade the credit rating for the country of Greece. And fear of a possible debt crisis sets in market-wide. So all of a sudden, investors that bought bonds and other invested other capital in Greece all of a sudden get concerned that Greece isn't going to be able to make its payments and that there's probably some problems. It's going to take a full 2 years, all the way to 2011, before the first financial bailout package is given to Greece, and investors, lenders, banks, etc., agree to write off 50% of what Greece owes them. So you would think that if it was anybody else, it took 2 years to finally get to a place where you're given some more money, and any money that you owed, half of it was written off, you think that'd be a pretty good time to start again, or to start something new, or to make your situation better. Well, as we see with Greece, it was only 12 months later when they got their second financial bailout. So, two bailouts, within 3 years, half their debt has been written off, nothing's changed. In 2015, 3 years after that, after their second bailout was given to them, and that basically is just a bucket of money that other countries, the International Monetary Fund, gives to the country so that the people of the country have a currency to use to buy goods and exchange and trade goods. So 3 years after that second financial bailout, an extension on another bailout is granted, and Greece officially misses two payments on all of their debt. So they, you and I, if we have payments to make, we make them monthly and or quarterly or according to some sort of payment schedule. Well, same thing is true of Greece, except that in 2015 they missed two payments. So all of a sudden the world responds, because they thought that this is exactly what was going to happen, except it was 6 years in the making. And everyone just kind of let Greece continue to do whatever it is they wanted to do. And this year, a third financial bailout was given to Greece. And obviously, I know there's a thousand other details that go into the story of Greece, but I just want you to pay attention to, it was 2019 when the world recognized, and probably earlier than that, that Greece recognized that they had a problem. It was 2 years after that realization that everybody stepped up to try and help Greece. And then a year later, helped them again. And then 3 years after that, helped them yet again, in the face of them having missed two payments or not fulfilling their obligations. So using that as a bit of a backdrop, I want to make sure that as I kind of go through the rest of the points I'm hoping to cover today, that you realize that these are just my opinions. It's based on my own experience, having to live through decisions, financial decisions that I've made, mistakes more importantly, and decisions that I've had to live through that other people have had to make for me because I wasn't able to put into practice what I'm going to be telling you today. So the first thing you need to do, if you find yourself in a crisis, a financial crisis specifically, or you know that a crisis is coming down the road, the first thing to do is to get your emotions in check. That might sound a little bit soft and it might sound a little bit airy-fairy, but I can't begin to tell you the significance of having a dogmatic and pragmatic approach to your situation. If you're up in the middle of the night, if it's 2 a.m, and you're having a hard time sleeping because you just can't seem to stop worrying about what's going to happen, well, being in that emotional state will direct your actions, will direct how you spend your day. And so the first thing you need to know is that the sun's going to rise tomorrow. It has yet to not rise, and so you should have some faith that the sun's going to rise tomorrow, tomorrow's going to come, and there will be a time when this moment will be behind you. And again, that's not to make light of whatever moment you might be finding yourself in, but it's meant to just encourage you that you have to look through the lens of being pragmatic and being dogmatic in order to address your situation and to make progress. So with that in mind, you know, again, you've probably heard me say this in previous podcasts, but it's kind of like when your kids are worried about the boogeyman and all they do is freak out about what might be in the closet. And it's not until you open the closet and show them that there's nothing there that they're able to now go on with their evening and hopefully get some sleep. Now, for you, if you're having trouble with your finances in your business or personally, the first thing you need to do is open up the closet and realize there's no boogeyman there, okay? The fears that you have in your head are probably greater. There's a high likelihood that the fears in your head are greater than what's actually going to happen in your life based on the financial situation that you find yourself in, okay? So with that in mind, let's get to the first concept. The first concept is your first loss is your best loss. And this comes from investment theory. If you've spent any time buying or selling stocks or trying to play the market, you'll often hear, or probably it's applicable to gambling as well, but you'll hear this idea that your first loss is your best loss. And it's a concept that investors use when they've determined that they no longer have faith in a stock, and so instead of continuing to hope on a wish and a prayer that the stock comes back to life, that they're probably better off just to take the loss that they have today and move on. Because if they don't do that, then they might find themselves making decisions not based on reality, but rather based on an artificial hope that something different is going to happen. And that relates directly back to entrepreneurs, owners, and investors who fund them when a business begins to fail or when a business has failed and nobody wants to admit it. Unless the business has maybe experienced a speed bump or there's been something that has caused the business to go off track that's resulted in a very difficult financial situation, if that business doesn't have a plan for getting back on track, and it looks like inevitably the business is just going to roll into oblivion, then it's probably best to just call it what it is and make all of the hard decisions today, either closing the doors, going bankrupt, calling creditors and telling them you can't pay them, whatever that might look like. If your business doesn't have an alternative strategy that they can measure, that has a goal associated with it, and that would produce a different result, then it's probably best just to take your loss and move on. Now, I don't talk out of the side of my mouth on this point. I was reminded of this point just earlier this week when I was speaking with an investor who also has owned a business which he has since handed off to management. And in 35 years, they've never missed a payment. They have paid all of their bills. Life has been very good for them. And because of what's happening in their industry has been shrinking. The service that they provide is not as valuable today as it was a decade ago. They have had to cost cut along with their competition in order to keep the lights on. And it doesn't really look like they can pivot. They can't do anything different than what they've done for 35 years. The people they have, the expertise that they have, the technology that they have access to can only be used, in their minds, can only be used for a single purpose, and that single purpose is no longer profitable. And so now they're making the hard and difficult decisions of laying off staff that have been with them for decades. They are contacting their landlord to let their landlord know that they may not be able to make the rent payments anymore and to maybe add them on to the back of the lease, or to come up with a different situation or a different scenario. And so this whole idea that your first loss is your best loss really has to do with recognizing that we've tried everything. There's nothing different we can do that's going to get a different result. And so let's just face it right now and make the hard decisions. Einstein, as we all know, said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I would remind anyone who's listening that money itself is never the solution or the problem. Money simply is the feedback loop or the result of what our businesses are doing. And so if you find yourself in a difficult financial situation, pouring more money into it probably isn't the solution. Most likely, I guarantee you, it isn't the solution. The solution probably has more to do with the business. Sales, marketing, cost cutting, being more efficient, finding a different product or service to get into, or finding a different way to leverage the assets that the business has, as opposed to maybe just borrowing more money or finding an investor. And from my experience, I made the classic mistake. Our business was having a significant financial challenge during the financial downturn, and I took on a partner thinking that our business is fine. We just have this moment in time right now where it's a little tough, but I'll take on an investor. They'll help us with our expenses until we can get back on our feet. Well, guess what happened? We never got back on our feet. We never returned back to the place that we were before the crisis had hit us. And as an entrepreneur, it took me probably a year and a half to learn that lesson. I panicked and I looked to do the first thing that every entrepreneur looks to do, or owner looks to do, which is usually just go find money. Find an investor, go borrow some more money, leverage the house. And some investors, like, or rather some entrepreneurs and owners like myself, would think, oh, that's just taking a risk, because that's what you do when you own a business. And the truth is, it wasn't taking a risk. It was making a very foolish decision and not keeping my emotions under control so that I could face the reality of our business and say, okay, what isn't working? Okay, the marketplace has thrown us a wrench, but if our business only worked because the marketplace worked, we probably didn't have a business to begin with. If we weren't adding enough value, if we weren't able to generate revenue because of a shift in the marketplace, it means we need to now figure out how to respond to that. And we were not able to do that until a few years later. And we've dynamically changed our business and continue to work on that every day. But the point is I know this lesson firsthand, that our first loss is always our best loss. And in my case, I could have easily saved myself years of frustration and angst if I was just simply prepared to take my first loss. The second concept that I'd like to explore a little bit today is this idea that crisis management is all about control. It amazes me how many times I can talk to an entrepreneur or an owner and say, or an investor even, who's invested in a business, a private business, and they're facing a financial crisis, and I'll say to them, okay, what's your end game here? Or what's the goal you're trying to get to? And a lot of them say, well, I don't know. I've got creditors calling me. I have payables that I can't pay. The government's leaving voicemail messages on our corporate voicemail because we owe taxes or payroll. And I just don't know. I don't have a plan. Well, back to point one, first loss is your best loss. If that's truly the position that you find yourself in, then you need to call everybody and let them know, I don't know what to do. All I know is our business is probably over. It's not going to be like it was. And so let's let the cards fall where they're going to fall now, but I'll always return your call. I'll always respond to your email and we'll try to work through it together. But more times than not, it's simply an entrepreneur or business owner sitting down and an investor sitting down and saying, what is the destination we need to get to? And maybe the answer is we need to be profitable again. And so if we need to be profitable again, it means we either have to increase our revenue or decrease our expenses. We can increase our revenue by finding new products and services to sell, or we can simply take our existing business and look to leverage it up by doing more of it. Or on the other end, do we need to maybe cut some staff or cut some costs or renegotiate our lease or cut our expenses somehow? So if you need to be more profitable, that's one destination that you can take, put in your hand, take control of, and then start making decisions based on that. So what does that look like? It looks like if your business simply needs to be more profitable and you truly just need more time for that to happen because there's some sales or some marketing activities that are starting to generate the results that you want, but you need more time to let them run, then get on the phone with the people that are causing you some angst financially and say, look, here's what's happening right now. And I will be upfront and honest and truthful with you, and I'll always tell you what's going on. Here's where we are right now. Is there any chance that we can work out terms that better match the path that we're on so that you can get paid and so that we don't need to worry that we're not being good stewards of the money that you've entrusted us with? So that's one option. And maybe the option isn't being more profitable. Maybe it's a sales problem. Maybe you just have no sales. Maybe you just have no revenue, but you can quantifiably demonstrate or you can show somebody that it's reasonable that sales will come. And then give yourself a time limit. Say we're going to need 90 days in order to do what it is we're trying to do. Well, as soon as you've taken control of that moment, then get on the phone or start sending emails out to the people that are part of your financial crisis and share with them what's happening so that they can take action accordingly. Many times, business owners, entrepreneurs, even investors just won't return phone calls anymore. They won't respond to emails. They'll just stop communicating because they think if they stop communicating that the situation will just figure itself out. And guess what? It does figure itself out, but it's usually not in the favor of the entrepreneur or business owner. Whereas an entrepreneur and business owner that's able to constantly be communicating and demonstrating that they're doing what they say they're going to do, many times creditors and bankers and lenders and investors will be more than happy to work with you. In my experience, again, 20 years, I've foreclosed on people. I have put projects into receivership. I have taken projects out of receivership. I have sat in boardrooms where borrowers have had to sign away sign bankruptcy papers. So I'm very familiar with what happens, and I can tell you that no banker, no lender, no investor, no creditor really wants to go down the road of being difficult, taking legal action, and making life miserable. Many times it's, you know, they've entrusted their capital to an entrepreneur or an owner, and that entrepreneur or owner has a responsibility to keep them updated on what's happening. And guess what? If the news is really bad, then just say it's really bad, and then start figuring out how to unwind what's been done. But not communicating is the worst thing that can happen, and you don't need to take my word for it. You can speak to anybody who is in this field, and they'll tell you the best thing you can do is pick up the phone and talk to the people that are part of your financial crisis. And remember, you're either going to control the situation, or your situation is going to control you, and you just have to figure out which side of that you want to be on. Again, keeping your emotions intact, calling your first loss your best loss instead of continuing to pump more money into something that isn't producing a different result, and taking control of your situation. These are things that you can do when you are experiencing a financial crisis, and these things matter. You'll find that you might be listening to this and thinking, oh, I can't do any of those things. All of that just sounds too much, too scary. I don't know where to begin. And I would say, great, well, tell you what. Go to my blog, send me a text, and let's start talking through it, just you and me. But I guarantee you that as you start doing this, as you start taking control of the moment that you're in and not letting it control you, it's going to change everything. I'm not promising that it's going to be easy or simple or as straightforward as maybe I've laid it out for you today, but I guarantee you that if you step in front of whatever you're facing right now and just start to deal with it, you will immeasurably get a better result than letting the moment that you're in dictate what you need to be doing. Because responding to problems is never the position you want to be in. I always say playing defense versus playing offense. You don't want to find yourself in the position of playing defense, because your best case result is you simply get to hold the ground that you're defending. If you decide to take an offense approach, it means your best result is you get to take new ground, and your worst result is you get to hold the ground that you have. And so as an entrepreneur, as an owner, or as an investor that is part of a financial crisis, I really hope that today's podcast was able to give you some things to think about. And if you want to talk about them with me, reach out to me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I have a personal chat page on my blog that you can send me a message. It'll come right to my phone and I can respond to you if I'm not at a computer. And or if you don't want to do that because maybe that's a little bit too personal, then just fill out the form on my blog. Tell me what your situation is and I'd be happy to give you some tips and help you sort through it. So thanks for listening today, and I look forward to connecting with you at some point in the future.